22 January, not 3, and we are in the midst of studying stress, anxiety, and depression, and we are dealing with the first head of the seven-headed dragon in our soul. Let's begin with the word of prayer, so that the Holy Spirit can open our eyes and our ears to the things that He would have us to see and hear, and what's going on, basically, when we live, when we experience fear, where are we, what's going on in our soul. Let's begin word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how appreciative we are for Your grace and of Your love. We pray, Father, that every day of our life will be a continuation of learning of the wonders that do occur in the human life if we abide in Your love. Pray that Your Spirit will open our eyes and our ears tonight, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. So we are tonight studying the seven-headed dragon, the seven heads of the seven-headed dragon in our soul. Is fear, hate, anger, jealousy, guilt and shame, bitterness and resentment, and arrogance. Now, we're not going to spend any kind of exhaustive time on any of these. In fact, I'd like just one on each one, but tonight I want to do a little bit with fear, and I'll tell you why in a moment. But right now we are looking at the head of fear inside of us. Before we come to God's solution to fear, let's look deeper at some of the things about fear. Now, we have already seen two fundamental things you always want to remember about fear. One, fear is a protection of the flesh. It is the part of the immune system of the flesh. It is designed to protect the flesh. So if we are in fear, we know that we are in the flesh. Secondly, fear is the absence of faith. Now, jumping right from that without any review of last week, let's go to some things we need to know about fear. I'd like to finish up fear tonight. One, remember that fear is the protection of self. Therefore, when you're experiencing fear that brings about stress, anxiety, and depression, your flesh senses a threat. Your flesh senses a threat, real or imaginary. But to the flesh, the threat is real. Now, let me take you back a little bit, and if you're a young person listening, but for the ones who go back, when you were a child, and for some maybe even now, you're going to a scary movie. Remember those, the monster movies? We had, when I was a child, movies such as Them, The Thing, things like that. And you sit in the theater, and real fear sets in. Become really in fear. Your heart starts pacing. You're breathing. You're in real fear. Now, are you in any real threat? No. No real threat at all. You're sitting in a nice air-conditioned theater, or right now, heated. You're seated in a nice heated theater, relatively nice, comfortable chairs. There's no real threat. But you're in fear. The popcorn that was in your hand is now on the floor. You're cutting your hair, your eyes with your hand. You are really in fear. And if a friend were to be a smiley and touch you and say, gotcha, you'd probably go out in a heart attack or even as a kid. But you're not in fear. I mean, there's no danger. But why are we afraid? And we're sitting there because, people, the flesh self senses its threats, the threats that are around it. Think about your flesh self continually being corrupted, and your flesh self knows that. You're going to die. The flesh self knows that and wants to hold on. That's why people have got to control. Basic to all control is a sense of fear. I'm going to lose this. I've got to control. And the flesh self is aware of that constant threat of its own frailty. We fear because we can lose. We can lose our lives. We can lose something from our parents, their approval, We sensed the fear of not performing, fear of losing our marriage, fear of not fitting in, fear of people not liking us, fear of old age, fear of cancer today, fear of just so many things, fear of a car wreck, fear of airplane crash, fear that we the blessed self is constantly aware of its own frailty. Point two, fear arises out of one of three dimensions. First dimension, and I'm talking about current fear, arises from your past. And something that you have already experienced. You fail to get the approval of your parents. They called you a loser, inadequate, no good. That fear is always there. Something that happened in the past, failed in school, and were laughed at. You're laughed at because of the way you look. Laughed at because of something that happened. So the past has this great source of, a great way of bringing fear into the current life, present fear, immediate threats. Husband, wife, work, no husband, no wife, no work. Our fear in the church, fear in the present, and then certainly fear of the future. A lot of fear is anticipation of something that will happen. And it probably never will happen. But a fear that if this is going to happen to me, I'm going to be miserable in my old age. I'm going to not have this, and I'm not going to have that. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to, my husband's going to run off. My wife's going to run off. This is going to happen to me, and I'll never smile again type of thing. Fear related to the future. Point three. Fear may be based on reality. Fear may be based on reality, but more often, it is not based on reality. This is especially true for Christians. This is especially true of Christians because they live fearing God, fearing that they're not performing for God, fearing of what God is going to do. I may not have eternal life. God may take it away from me. I'm so unworthy. I may spend forever in fire and burning and brimstone. Fear of it. Fear that God is going to take something away from us in time as well as in eternity. So many Christians live their whole life on something that will never happen. Never happen. But it ruins their whole life. It brings depression, distress, on their whole life, and they never come out of it. Point four, I'll give you something that it's not for me, so this is not mine, but someone has put together what fear is in this respect that we're now talking about. Okay, here's fear, S-E-A-R. Fear is a faulty, let me see, get it all down. Fear is a faulty evaluation of, a faulty evaluation of actual reality, of actual reality. And that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Because Christians have a faulty evaluation of the future. They have a faulty evaluation of God. That's why people in 1 John denied that they sinned. 1 John 1:8 was because they feared what God was going to do if they sinned. God was going to take away their eternal life. And this wonderful shepherd was saying, no. Don't be afraid to acknowledge that you sin. Let me tell you what kind of God he is. He's faithful and righteous. He's already forgiven. He's already cleansed. First thing that John does is to straighten them up on their false evaluation of God. He's not going to take away your salvation. I write these things in John, 1 John 5, that you know you have eternal life if you have believed in His Son. You have it. You're not going to be evaluated and lose it. That isn't what kind of God He is. But not only is this related to eternity, related to time. So many Christians live in a fear and a faulty evaluation of the actual reality about God, how He deals with us in our life. Oh, God is like man. See, people, man will get you. If you fail before man, they will get you, punish you, separate from you, not love you. And so we conclude that's the way God is. No, that's the way the flesh is. That's why the law appeals to the flesh. Point five. The effect of fear, the damage of fear, is devastating to the soul. It's devastating to the mind, and people, it can devastate the body. It can flow over and affect your very physical body. But for our study, it affects the life of a Christian. The quality of the life that you live each day, you live in this fear, the distress, SAD, stress, anxiety, and depression, brought on by this head of the seven-headed dragon called fear. And what is so remarkable here is that Christians will spend thousands of dollars on drugs, on doctors, on counselors, on all of these things, while the real solution, the real cure, is free, it's easy, and it's already theirs. Like what John is saying, don't be afraid, don't live in denial. Don't do that. It's already all taken care of. And that's what I'm saying here. The solution, the real cure to fear is free, it's easy, and it's yours, if you will take it. But the problem is very few believers will actually take God's cure. They will fail to trust Him to take away their fear. Even so-called, and I always like these people, I'm a Christian doctor, take these drugs. I'm a Christian psychologist, let me give you this therapy. And self-proclaimed Christian counselors, all these types of things. Now, why do Christians experience fear? Let me word it another way. Why do Christians experience SAD from fear? Why do Christians put their whole life into depression and distress? Due to fear. Simply stated, you choose to live under Satan's lie. You choose to live under the law. What do I mean by that? You choose. Why, it's a thought. Fear is a thought. Thought precedes stress, anxiety, depression. You choose to be evaluated by God according to law. You have chosen to be evaluated by God by performance. You have chosen to be judged, evaluated by God by the way you perform. And when you choose to be judged and evaluated by God according to performance, you will live in fear. Am I doing enough? Am I doing it right? How far does that thought get me away from God? What does this do? I'm going to lose everything if I don't do this, if I do that. Stress, anxiety, and depression. Sad, SAD, stress, anxiety, depression, comes from living under Satan's lie, under performance. We will be repeating this in almost every one of the heads, with a different little twist to it. Last night in the study of Revelation, we studied, I'm not going to take you there tonight, but I hope that you at least know the story. If you don't, you can read it in Matthew. But a young man came to Jesus Christ, and he said, what do I have to do to have eternal life? So he immediately comes up, and he wants to perform. He has chosen to be evaluated for God, whether he's worthy or not of eternal life, by performance. And then we have the procedure where Christ answers him the question according to his own standard of performance, not the truth. He wants to be evaluated by performance, okay? Keep the whole law. And the man went away grieved. That's stress, anxiety, depression. Not going to have eternal life. So, you choose, the first thing you do when you live in the fear, you choose to be evaluated and judged by God according to the law, according to some performance standard. I've got to perform. People, it can be all kinds of things, from moral righteousness, to how much Bible doctrine you know, to how many charismatic experiences you have, to service for God. But you're under some form of performance issue, some list. And there's always the fear of not keeping it up. I've got to do more and more. God will take it away. And it just grows and grows and multiplies on you. Now, let's put a little parenthesis here. I know that there are many Christians who do not suffer from stress, anxiety, and depression, who live under the law. They live under performance. Well, what's going on with these? They're living under performance. Pastors, Pharisees, TV communicators, radio communicators that lead the church today, they're living under the law. Why aren't they coming down with stress, anxiety, and depression? They live under Satan's lie. They live under performance. But see, they're at the other end of the performance scale than those of you tonight who are experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression. They think they have performed for God. That was the Pharisees. You're doing everything right. We're doing everything right. So these people think because, oh, they have pure thoughts, and they don't commit adultery, and they don't murder, and they don't steal, they're right before God. They have no body sins, really. No sins committing of anything. So they are very pleased and self-righteous about their relationship with God. They think they have performed God's satisfaction. They're filled with arrogance, self-deceit, and self-promotion to be the judge of others who do not perform as well as they do. Now, I'm going to tell you a little secret. Those of you that are hurting tonight and sad, and stress, and depression, out of fear, I'll tell you a little secret. Their problem's far worse than yours. Now, I know you don't think so. Because tonight, as you listen to the tape, or on the internet, or however you listen to it, you think yours is worse. If you're hurting tonight and they're not. You're experiencing depression and they're not. But I want you to know they're far worse off than you are. Now let me explain to you why that is true for a moment. Just divert for a moment on this. Now, you say, how can that be? How can it be that a multitude of religious leaders and pastors who live under the law and live under Satan's lie do not suffer stress, anxiety, and depression while I am? Well, remember the third characteristic that we studied about the flesh nature. And the third characteristic was that it is deceitful above all else. These people have deceived themselves, just like the scribes and Pharisees. And what is the primary thing that God, the Christ, warned us? Beware of, beware. He didn't say, beware of wild women. He didn't say, beware of Satan's moves. He didn't say, beware of these things. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And what is the leaven of the Pharisees? The leaven of the Pharisees is performance that I can do so much for God. They have deceived themselves that they are performing adequately for God's approval. And they are so proud of it. They are so self-righteous. Why? They don't steal. They don't commit adultery. They don't do bad things. Their problem is self-deceit and lying to themselves. How can we say that? Look at Matthew chapter 5. We have looked at it before some time ago in this study, and occasionally we come back to it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. They're lying to themselves. Self-deceit. Performing for God. If you're going to do that, then you have to be perfect. And they won't admit that. They won't come to that realm. Well, no. You have little failures along the way, but you're still adequate. You're still wonderful before God. You don't do these real bad things. So you're okay with God. No. People, if you want to work with God on the performance standard, you've got to be perfect. You've got to be perfect. The scribes and Pharisees and Jesus Christ called whitewashed tombstones. People on the overt, they looked alive and wonderful. They were clean and white. But on the inside, they were dead. As many are today. And they're not even aware of their own death. They're the walking dead. That's what they are, the walking dead. Now, whereas one who strives to live by the law and knows they fail, they go along with Paul. Oh, wretched man that I am. And he said that he was a believer trying to perform for God. And it brought him to truth. No matter how well I try to be perfect, I know I'm not perfect. In fact, the more I try to live by the law, the more I see who and what I really am in the flesh, and I am wretched. Wretched. And he wasn't out committing adultery, boozing it up, cheating on the IRS, or taking money from the till. But he realized he was wretched. A failure. So why do Christians experience sad from fear? Why do Christians put their whole life into depression and distress due to fear? You choose to live under Satan's lie. Now, what was Satan's lie? Your self-worth, that would be your self-worth before God, is made up of your performance plus others' opinion of you. That's what the law does. If you perform, I, God, will do for you. Therefore, when you put yourself under the law, you choose to be evaluated by God according to the law. Think about that. You are chosen to be evaluated by God according to the law. Performance. You choose to be judged by God as whether you are worthy and adequate according to performance. And when you choose to be judged by God according to performance, you will live in fear. Stress and depression will set in if you choose to be that way and you're aware of it, as Paul was. And if you are, that's why you're experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression from fear. Experiencing. I'm going to give you another word of comfort. On the cross, which a lot of Christians claim to praise but don't live under it. At the cross, Jesus Christ took care of all your sins. So forget those, your past, present, future sins. They're no issue. Are you depressed about them and fear about them? Then you have just slapped the cross in the face. But let me go another step. When Christ comes back, all that judgment you read about in Revelation, we're going to see, it's all about how God is going to end Satan's lie in the performance standard. There will not be an eternity. He is going to destroy it. He is going to crush it. And we'll see more and more and more. At the cross, people, he took care of your sins. But I want to tell you something else. The same standard that right now is bringing you stress and depression in your soul because of fear is going to be totally abolished by Jesus Christ. And it's not even going to be a part of eternity. The law and the performance standard of it. He's taking it all away. There's a fear of not measuring up. There's a fear of failure. From the past, your parents, your school, your friends, the present, and of course those in the future that bring about great fear. The fear of failure. Fear of failure involves two things. It means to fall short of God's expectation, others' expectation. It's to fall short of others, what others are thinking of you, therefore the opinion of others, but more especially for our study, God's. You have to bear the fear of bearing the humiliation a failure. Constantly living under the fear of being evaluated, being judged by others and by God. Now, the minutes we have left, so that we can go to the next head of the seven-headed dragon next week, what does God have to say about all this? What does God say about your fear tonight? Not only what does God say about it, because I could say God says fear not. Well, that's a lot of help, preachers. That's really good. Fear not. Wow, that was a real wonderful, wise word. Wow. That's more important. But if I know to fear not, I'd like not to. It's bringing depression in my life. Huh. Let's see what God says. Now, what we're looking at what God says is, besides the fact you shouldn't be living under the law, besides the fact you shouldn't be living under Satan's lie, but let's look at what he says about fear here. Please turn with me to the Epistle of 1 John. This is powerful. The Epistle of 1 John, chapter 4. What a great epistle this book is. Epistle of 1 John. You know, now that we're going on the internet, I'm really prone to doing a basic study, going through books and things. I just don't know who my audience would be. Most of the people in my church would go, oh, well, that's boring. I know that. But I'd like to have a basic series other than the book of Galatians. And this would be one of the books that we would do because it's so powerful for us. Look at me, if you will, please, at 1 John chapter 4. And I hope those of you that are hurting tonight and fear is just a part of your life, just take out the Bible and read this with us. 1 John 4, verse 18. And first thing I want to do is read the whole verse, because we're not going to be able to spend a great time exegeting. Just going to kind of milk some things, so let's be sure we got the whole verse under our belt. There is no fear in love. No fear. None. But perfect love, now that's a key word there, perfect. But perfect love. And I know you're saying tonight, but my love's not perfect, I'm no good. Well, just stay with me. Neither is the scribes and Pharisees. There is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear. Now look what it says. Because fear involves punishment. But the one who fears is not perfected in love. Fear involves punishment. Living in fear, being evaluated by God. I deserve not to be loved by God. I deserve to be punished by God. Not to have happiness and not to have a nice marriage and not to have my children, not to have success, not to be used of God, not be a pastor or a deacon or a teacher or a missionary. I'm so bad. I don't deserve it. People, let's put all that garbage of Satan's lie aside. Okay. You want to click on the first head of the seven-headed dragon? Well, what is your weapon against this depressing enemy? Let me tell you what your weapon is. God's love toward you. You want to take on the seven-headed dragon and walk right up to the first head of the seven-headed dragon? Your weapon is God's love toward you. He loved us before we loved him. I'm going to tell you why that says that. Secondly, your weapon is your love toward God. And God gives you this love by His Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not your love. See, your love that you're so concerned about is that love that's not perfect. Man cannot have perfect love. Now, let's take a look. Got a seven-headed dragon, fear. What's your weapon? You want to take him on? Let's take him on. And what are we going to walk out there with? What's going to be the invaded space? What's going to be the stone we're going to put in our sling? And sling at this giant in our soul. God's love. Oh, well, yeah, that's a cliche. This is the scriptures. You tell me this is a cliche? Probably why you have stress and fear and why you'll continue to have it, because you reject God's cure. You just don't think it can be this simple. Your love toward God, and God gives you that love. Now, we have studied, here in our assembly, we have studied some of the effects or impacts of love, and I don't have time to tell you why we've come up with that designation of them, but some of the effects and impacts of love inside of you, like long-suffering and kindness, no jealousy, no boasting, no arrogance. But here's something else His love will do that we haven't studied. It will defeat the first head of the seven-headed dragon inside of you. Fear. It will defeat it. There is no fear in love. Fear of Alzheimer's, fear of losing, fear of death, fear of war, fear of losing your husband in the war, fear of losing your children in the war, fear of us going to war, fear of getting on a plane because it may be bombed, fear of driving down the road, fear of everything. And a lot of Christians experience this stuff. They live in a fear. Well, look what the verse says. There is no fear in love. And I hope that right now some of you are saying, but my love's no good, and I haven't experienced this, and love, is just, it doesn't work. Well, let me introduce you to God's love. There is no fear in His love. If you're suffering depression from fear, here's the beginning of the end. A depression in your soul that is brought on by fear. And it's the impact or the effect of love. God's love flowing through you. In John 14, which we will not turn to right now, it says, abide in my love. Abide in my love. Now we come to a crucial question. How do we abide in His love? How do we abide in His love? Many preachers will tell you by some system of performance, some kind of doing for God. Think clear and pure thoughts. Do some wonderful things for God. Read the Bible. Pray. Do all these things, and that's abiding in His love. That'll get you there. That is so deathifying to those who are already in fear due to the fear of failure. That's a terrible place to be. You're already in fear and in depression due to the fear of failure and performance, and then someone tells you to get out of it, you got to perform. Well, hell, there it goes. I have no hope. And I know it's exactly your word. It's in your soul. I'm doomed. I'm damned. I've got to perform to get out of the fear, and that's the whole reason I'm in the fear. It's the fear of performance. Well, here's the good news. You don't have to perform to abide in His love. You do not have to perform to abide in His love. All you have to do is trust Him. All you have to do is trust God the Holy Spirit. This powerful love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. You don't manufacture this love. Isn't that good news? You do not have to perform. You don't have to manufacture it. You do not have to manufacture this love. In fact, I'll tell you something even more peaceful. You can't. You cannot manufacture this love. So just forget it. Be at peace. Rest. Don't try. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. He will give it to you if you just trust Him. You put your faith in God the Holy Spirit, and love will do the rest. Love will do the work. Love will decapitate this head of our seven-headed dragon. Love will decapitate it. Cut it right off. And the head of fear is gone by love. Not you doing. This is what love does, people. I remind you back to 1 Corinthians 13. Love is long-suffering. You're not long-suffering. Please understand that. You are not long-suffering. You are not kind. Love is the subject, not you. What you and I want to do is to have that love and abide in it. How do I do that? Simply walk by faith. That's how we do it. And then love, not you, love decapitates this dragon's head. You don't have to. You sit still. You let him decapitate the head of fear and rip it right out of your soul, right out of your life. There is no fear in love. If you abide in his love by faith in the Spirit, there is no fear. Why? Because no performance is necessary. And when no performance is necessary, there's no judgment. When there's no judgment, there's no fear. The next verse tells you why there's no fear in love. Look what it says. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. See the word perfect? You know why that word is stuck in there? Why he didn't just say, but love casts out fear? Then you just say that. Perfect love. Because human love will not cast out fear. And human love is imperfect love. God's love is perfect. Now, why is that true? Please get this in your soul if you're hurting tonight. Human love is based on performance. Human love is based on performance. And therefore fear. I always feel sorry for children to grow up with fear, a failure before their parents, because their parents have taught them about love. Let me tell you about love, my child. You perform. You better make the grades in school, on the football field, in the science lab, wherever. I used to say on the football field and in the ballet class, but I've been told that's very chauvinistic, male chauvinism, and is derogatory to. Now, I don't know why. You got to perform on a football field. It is not derogatory to a young boy, but to perform on a dance floor is derogatory to a little girl. Okay. I'm not even going to pretend to understand political correctness. So whatever. The little girl in the science lab. Now, does that make all the ladies feel good? I hope so. But wherever, you're not performing is the point. Wherever it is. Grades. Look. Whatever, popularity, you're not performing. And you can tell the love is not there. You've always got to perform and a fear of losing it. One of the strongest parts of human love is fear. One of the strongest controls, I fear I'm going to lose my parents' love. I fear I'm going to lose this man's love. I fear I'm going to lose this girl's love. Why a lot of young people go into physical sins, sexual sins, fear of losing the love. But it's not just there, it's adults. Fear of losing it. Having them walk away. We live in that fear of losing that love and being judged and evaluated and not living up to expectations. And I will say this to any of you young people thinking, or any age, thinking of getting married. If you're involved with someone whose love is based on your performance, run. Don't walk. Run. Put on your duties and run. Get out of there. You're headed for hurt. If the person you're involved with, if you're going to a church and the preacher preaches some form of performance for God and for one another, get out of there. You'll be devastated. But God's love, by that I mean God's love toward you, and spiritual love, the love of the Holy Spirit pours into you, coming out of you toward others, it's something entirely different. It's perfect. And what does that mean? Perfect love is a love that is not based on performance. Isn't that beautiful? Boy, that starts taking the weight right off and starts cutting off the head of this dragon. Perfect love is a love that is not based on performance. It's not based on the opinion of others. Therefore, since it is not based on performance, there is no fear of losing it. There is no fear of failure. No fear of judgment. No fear of losing that love. Our verse says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. Okay, there's our word. There's the foundation, what's going on, a hidden little thing inside of our stressed out and depressed souls. Punishment. Punishment for what? Failure to perform. Failure to perform. Failure not to measure up. You're living under judgment. You're living under law. You're living under Satan's lie. You've chosen to do that. There's always that fear of not measuring up to all that God is going to want. That's how a lot of preachers control their congregations. Boy, you got to measure up. You can't miss one Bible class. You can't go to any other church but our church, or we'll excommunicate you. You can't do this. You can't do that. Boy, you've got to do this and you've got to do that, or God is going to get you. God, what a view of God. Go to a bartender. Don't go to church. Your pastor's like that, and you don't want to come to the church. Because fear involves punishment. Punishment for what? Failure to perform. If you choose to live before God by performance, by law, by Satan's lie, you will live in fear and punishment, and you will probably experience stress, anxiety, and depression unless you get into the arrogance and the leaven of the Pharisees. Fear? Fear of failure. Fear of failure? Fear of punishment. Let me give you a little question. Fear equals fear of failure. Fear of failure equals fear of punishment. Well, no wonder you're depressed by fear. No wonder it's stressed out. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. If you're experiencing fear, I want you to know something about yourself. It's not that you're inadequate. Please don't do that. If you're experiencing fear and depression from fear tonight, please do not think that you're inadequate. That's not the problem. The problem is not inadequate. I don't care what others tell you. I don't care what the preacher told you, your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your friends. Job's three friends. That's not the problem. I want you to know this, though, about yourself. You're not abiding in His love. Fear and fear and stress, anxiety, and depression from fear, you know that you are living in the flesh, because fear protects the flesh. You know that you're not abiding in His love. You're not in His spirit. The Pharisees and the religious people lived in fear of failure to perform. But when you live in the Spirit, you abide in His love. There's no fear. People, please understand the difference between the love of people that is going to produce fear. Oh, how they love you. Oh, they love you. And they're going to do so much for you. And do you fail. And watch them turn on you overnight. Watch them want to crucify you. Paul says, boy, yesterday you worshipped me like an angel. Today you're ready to kill me. You don't live up to people's expectations, they're going to do it. Don't live there. God wants you to live in His love. Abide in My love. If you abide in His love, you slay the first head of our seven-headed dragon, His first rising up in your soul. You live in the Spirit, you abide in His love. And that's where you want to abide. I know. I know how you hurt. And I know your past. And I know what's going on right now. And I know how Job's three friends have just completely devastated you. I know how you... I've been there. I know what you're going through. And I know that right now you think it cannot be that easy. I just can't... I've spent thousands of dollars. You know, I've spent thousands of dollars. Counselors and drugs and different things. And it cannot be that easy. I want to tell you something. That's how powerful God's love is. It can't be something inside your soul. It solves your eternal problem. His love can solve the fear problem of your life. It is that easy. I know it doesn't sound it. We live in a day when everybody's got the easy way. Take this pill, eat ice cream all day long, and lose weight. Now, we just know this isn't going to work. Nothing's easy. You see what I'm saying? Nothing's easy in the world, by the world system. But in God's system, it's all easy. Don't mix the two. Don't mix the two. It is this easy. You can get up. You can move on without fear depressing your life if you abide in His love. Know who you are in Christ. Know that it's not who and what you are, but it's who and what Christ is. Know that God isn't going to come and get you, scrap you. He's going to come and salvage you, just as He did at the cross. Let Him do it. Starting tonight, are you listening? Start trusting His Spirit. And look for the fruit of His love. Abide in that love. And He starts cutting out the head of fear. Because where there is love, there is no fear. Perfect love, His love, cast out fear. Now, we've ended, I hope for you, briefly, the first head of the seven-headed dragon. Next Wednesday night, we'll look at the second head. And the second head, these are no major order, but the second head is the head of anger. So we'll take a look at the head of anger as it relates to stress, anxiety, and depression ruining your life. We'll do that next week. Let's close in a word of prayer. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father. You take away the judgment and the punishment, the burden of our sins, and we go find some other burden to come under. We go find some other enslavement to live in fear about. We pull up the law, we pull up Satan's lie, so that we can enjoy fear and depression. What an awesome God you are that you've even already eliminated that head from us. If we'll just trust you. God, Church History, Father, there are only few who have dared to walk by faith in your Spirit, to truly experience the fruit of the Spirit of love. I pray right now that those who are listening who experience fear in their lives and in their soul will live the abundant life and come out of that. Will abide in your love by simple faith. Stop spending money. Stop thinking they're inadequate or something wrong with them. Come and abide in your love. Experience the richness of it, the peace of it. Absence of fear. Because that's what kind of God you are, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.